Namaste. Those of you who listen to the podcast, I apologize that we're a little late in 2021, but better late than ever. So I wanted to start the year 2021, our first podcast of the year, by talking about the origin story of Ayurveda. And if you read my book, Ayurveda and the Feminine, right in the first chapter, I talk about how this heavenly divine knowledge of Ayurveda came from Brahma, and then it flowed down, eventually reaching sages, and then it reached a sage called Aitreya. This Aitreya had many disciples, and these disciples were first passing the knowledge in an oral tradition, and finally some of the disciples started writing down, like in think scrolls. But there is also another origin story of the deity of Ayurveda, which is Dhanvantari, who is the avatar, avatar, or avatar as we say it in India, or incarnation of Vishnu, who came out of the churning of ocean of milk. Yeah, there is an ocean. It's a milky ocean, and it was churned, and many amazing things came out of it. And at the end of it came out the avatar of Vishnu, who was carrying medicinal herbs, Ayurvedic herbs, and he was carrying a pot of amrit or nectar. Atul tells this story a lot better than me, so I'm going to hand over to him. Enjoy.
So we consider the words of the sages to be correct. We accept it as is. And this is, you know, from the book. It is narrated by Manjulali. And this is mostly from the first section of Charaka Samhita. It is one of the Brihatrayi, one of the three very important books. The knowledge of Ayurveda was passed down from the creator Brahmaji to the angels or devas. And then the teachings were passed from the devas, from the heavenly beings, to mystical sages. And these sages brought the knowledge to planet Earth and distributed it. So we start with the creator of the world called Brahma, passing down the wisdom of healing. So the question might arise, who is Brahma? So there are three primary deities in Vedic culture. Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the preserver, and Shiva is the destroyer. So we're starting with Brahma, the creator. This ancient knowledge of healing was not known. So the creator Brahma decided to instruct this knowledge to one of his sons, Daksha Prajapati. Prajapati Daksha is one of the original progenitors of the universe in the origin story that is given in Vedic literatures. Prajapati chose to pass this knowledge to one of the most qualified angels in the heavens, and these are the celestial divine twins known as the Ashwini Kumars. They are called the physicians of heaven. So they were the first recipients of this knowledge from Prajapati Daksha. So they are considered physicians of the angels or devas. Who was the one who was best qualified to receive these teachings from them? It was decided that Indra, the king of heaven, was best suited, and the knowledge was passed to Indra. There was a sage, Bharadwaj, who was visiting heaven, who had come from earth. And after Indra spent some time with the sage Bharadwaj, he passed his healing knowledge to him. So now the wisdom goes to the Earth planet. So the sage Bharadwaj came to planet Earth and immediately began to share it with his friend. His friend was another sage called Atreya Punarvasu. Sage Atreya is a very significant character in the story of the origin of Ayurveda. It was Atreya's disciples that would write down this knowledge, which was passed in an oral tradition before their time. Atreya Punarvasu had many disciples, and he taught this ancient healing modality to all his disciples. all the disciples wrote down the teachings from their master and took notes, which were originally written on palm leaves. And there was one disciple of Atreya called Agnivesh who published these in the form of Agnivesh Tantra. Agnivesh's manuscripts changed many forms over the years and became what is now called Charaka Samhita, which is probably the most well-known text of Ayurveda. So there might be a question here. Well, what happened to Agnivesh Tantra? It has been lost. There are a lot of things that were passed in oral tradition, and only sometimes bits and pieces of them remained. And that is the case here. So what we have as Charaka Samhita is not the complete 100% all knowledge of Ayurveda, but this is what has remained. There are also sections of Atharva Veda that contain Ayurveda. And these also are oral traditions that have been lost. As the story goes, we're in a current age called Kali Yuga. Now, Kali is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, which seems very appropriate given current events. We live in very quarrelsome times, and it just seems that quarrel and conflict is increasing, and ignorance also. But under the influence of Kali, there is a lot of ancient knowledge that was once cherished and preserved and passed down by people for whom keeping large volumes of information in their hearts was not terribly difficult. And it used to be that this knowledge was passed down to people who were very qualified and who understood it thoroughly. But now it really relies on things being written down, because in our current age, we don't have such good memories. Anyway, Charaka Samhita is what we have, and this is regarded as one of the top three authoritative texts on Ayurveda, and the other two are Sushruta Samhita and Ashtanga Hridayam. We often present evidence in our courses from these three texts. And again, these texts are called Brihatrayi. Brihatrayi literally means the big three. So what are the eight branches of Ayurveda? And originally there were eight branches of Ayurveda, and out of these eight, there are only some that are practiced. There are also eight essential subspecialties which are still taught today. So these include internal medicine or Kaya Chikitsa, general surgery or Shalya Tantra, otorhinolaryngology or ENT for short, Shalakya Tantra, pediatrics and obstetrics and gynecology, which is Kaumara Bhritya, psychiatry or Bhutavidya, toxicology, Agata Tantra, nutrition, detoxification and rejuvenation, or Rasayana Tantra, and fertility and virility, Vajikarana. So these were all separate subtopics, as you can imagine. There are a lot of details to these things, and some of these things remain very important, you know, points of obsession. You know, for example, what's a way to have good nutrition and rejuvenation, rasayana? There are a lot of rasayanas. For example, you all might have heard of something called Chyawanprash. Chyawanprash is an ancient rasayana. It's a tonic. It's something that gives you energy and helps boost your immunity. It's an ancient recipe with amalaki and other herbs and so forth in the form of a jam. So you can get that ready made, and there are some formulations that are better than others, but it's pretty commonly known. That's part of rasayana. Vajikarana, fertility and virility. How much emphasis is there nowadays if a couple wants to have children and there is trouble having children? You know, they'll go to a specialist for IVF or some other types of treatments. But this was also a topic in Ayurveda, you know, how to do things. And there are things that we can do in Ayurveda that help with conceiving a child, that can help to increase the sperm count, that can help with the woman to have the support to be able to have a good implantation and successful safe pregnancy. So this was all part of Ayurveda, Kaumara Bhritya, the whole process of pregnancy and taking care of the mother and taking care of the child. Bhuta Vidya, understanding our psychiatry, our psychology. This is one of the topics that we cover. So these are all important subtopics in Ayurveda. It's very comprehensive. So one of the fundamental things, and I think you already covered this with Pradipa, are the Mahabhutas. These are the five elements, okay? These are the five elemental categories. I think we were going to cover the origin of Ayurveda. So I'm going to save this part for later and move on to some of the other things, because you've already covered the Panchamahabhuta somewhat. We are going to circle back in some later sessions and cover it, okay? But on the topic of the origin of Ayurveda, I wanted to share a couple of interesting things. So let's look here at this. So this is a picture from the Bangkok airport, Suvarnabhumi Airport. And this sculpture actually represents an old story of the origin of Ayurveda. It is a depiction in kind of a Thai style, you know, with the pointy ornate helmets. But this is actually from ancient culture of India. And this is described in all of the various Puranas or ancient histories of India. And this is from the story of the churning of the ocean, where the devas and asuras, the godly angels and the more materialistic asuras, they got together and formed an alliance for the purpose of churning the ocean to produce Amrit. Amrit is a type of, it is nectar of immortality. Literally, it means that which removes death. So I wanted to talk about this origin story a little bit. So they churned using a mountain and using a divine snake called Vasuki. So the devas and the asuras got together and they used this huge mountain and they wrapped this gigantic snake Vasuki around the mountain to do churning. You know, like you might churn where you have a rope tied around a churning rod. And Vishnu incarnated as a gigantic tortoise named Gurma underneath, and then also appeared on top to hold the mountain steady as it was being churned back and forth. So those are the devas and asuras. The asuras argued that we want to hold the head of the snake Vasuki because that will be more auspicious. We do not want to hold the inauspicious tail part. But they became burned because the stress of being used as a churning rope for a gigantic mountain was causing some stress to Vasuki. So fire was coming out of his mouth. Bhagavan Vishnu also appeared in a gigantic form on top of the mountain to hold it in place using special powers, superpowers. So, you know, this is, you know, about people have always been fascinated by the idea of superpowers. And they have come from origin stories like this of ancient celestial beings who have amazing powers and who are able to do such things. But this is part of the origin story of Ayurveda. And this is Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari appeared out of the ocean holding this pot of Amrita, the drink think of immortality. All right, so we have the churning going on. Vasuki is wrapped around the mountain and churning. The asuras who wanted to hold the head are getting burnt. So it's a very interesting thing because you find a lot of recurring themes. In China, for example, you have all the stories of the Monkey King. And when we, from the Indian culture background here, we think, oh, yes, this sounds like Hanumanji. And, there are a lot of common things. So one of the interesting things is that in the churning of the ocean, so there's a very long, basically there were all kinds of herbs and plants that were put into the ocean for the churning to produce the amrit. But one of the first things that came out, and here they're showing some of the devas headed by Brahma with four heads, you see on the left side, and then on the right side, you see the asuras having very, sometimes very interesting looking shapes and sometimes having large teeth. But the first thing that came out were some drops of poison called halahala or kalakuta. Kalakuta literally means the fang of time, very deadly poison. So then the poison was actually producing fumes that were causing pain to everyone. So what happened? The devas went to Lord Shiva. Now, Shiva has a very special category all of his own amongst divine personalities. He is all powerful, but he is a transformation of the Almighty for the purpose of being in touch with the material energy. And the material energy takes the form of Goddess Parvati, his consort. So all of this deadly poison was coming out of the churning of the ocean, and Lord Shiva took this in the palm of his hand and he drank it, but it stayed as only it went as far as his neck. It said that there were a few drops of this deadly poison that fell on the ground, and from all these drops came all the poisonous plants and venomous serpents and venomous insects that exist had come from these drops of poison that fell from the hand of Shiva. So the result of the poison staying only as far as the throat of Lord Shiva resulted in him being called Nilakanth, or the blue-throated one. And that was because of the poison. And it's just amusing to me that they've shown Shiva or Shankarji with six-pack abs in that picture. I just think that's rather funny. And then there were 14 heavenly things that came out of the ocean. And this is a nice little picture. I think someone has, maybe this is a little bit more contemporary, but they have shown many different things here. I will point some of them out. These are apsaras or heavenly damsels. This is the horse Uchaisharava. There is the Kalpavriksha tree, desire tree. There is the elephant Airavata. There is a bow, which is used by Bhagavan Vishnu. And there are, of course, Dhanvantari came out carrying the pot of Amrit. There you see Vasuki. He's breathing fire and smoke. You see some of the devas, Ganesh, Indra, the Brahma, Shiva, and you see the asuras on the other end.
Wow, I felt like that was happening right in front of me. It has all the elements of a super blockbuster. There's on one side, there is the demons and or devas, and other side demons, and another side are the devas or the angels, and there's mystical superpower Vishnu, who's become a giant tortoise that can lift up a mountain, and a giant snake, and the ocean is being churned, and all these mystical objects are coming out. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Atul. hope you all enjoyed it as well. See you next time.